and as a child Essie had believed every word her father said. But now she was a grown woman of 20, and she was not so gullible. She stood up, but before she had a chance to clamber ashore, the stranger leaned over and lifted her from the boat as easily as if she were a featherweight. She was acutely aware of his body heat and the scent of spicy cologne mixed with the salty tang of the sea. Most men of her acquaintance stank of sweat, tar and tobacco, but this was altogether different and oddly exciting. She'd barely had time to catch her breath when he set her down on the ground, pressed a small leather pouch into her hand, and without a word of thanks he strode off, heading in the direction of the stone steps. Driven by curiosity, Essie hurried after him, although her progress was hampered by her damp skirts and flannel petticoat. She reached the top of the steps in time to see him climb into a waiting cab, and it drove off into the night, leaving her alone on the wharf amongst the idle machinery. The brief moment of quiet was shattered when the door of a pub in Fore Street opened, spilling out a group of drunken men, who cavorted and sang in good-natured tipsiness, until someone landed a punch which started a brawl. She weighed the purse in her hand, and it was heavy. This had been no ordinary job. The tall stranger with strong arms and gallant manner was not a common seaman, and if he was carrying contraband, it was something small that could be easily concealed beneath his cloak. There was nothing more she could do, and she was tired. She might never know the identity of the man who smelled of the sea and spice. What his mission was must remain a mystery. But she was chilled to the bone, and the thought of her warm bed was uppermost in her mind. Essie started walking. Home was a small terraced house in White's Rents, a narrow alley leading to Ropemaker's Fields. It was a poor area, with several families crowded into the two up, two down dwellings. Chimney sweeps, brewery workers, dockers, street sweepers, and sailmakers lived cheek by jowl with the families who raised 10 or more children in the tiny houses, with a shared privy at the end of the street. The constant reminder of what fate might have in store for the less fortunate inhabitants was a limehouse workhouse, just a short walk away. Essie quickened her pace, but all the time she was aware of the deep shadows where danger lurked at any time of the day or night. The yellow eyes of feral cats blinked at her as they slunk along the gutters in the constant search for food, and skinny curs prepared to fight for survival. Drunks, drug addicts, and thieves on the prowl might lurk in the shadows to attack the unwary, and it was a relief to arrive home unmolested.
"Is that you, my duck?"
Her father's voice boomed out like a foghorn from the sofa as she opened the front door, which led straight into the front parlour.
"Yes, Pa."
"Is the job done?"
"Yes, Pa."
Essie trod carefully as she made her way across the floor in almost complete darkness. The curtains remained drawn back, but there was no streetlights in White's Rents, and clouds had obscured the moon.
"Do you want anything, Pa?"
He reached out to feel for a hand.
"A cup of water would go down well, Esther. I've drunk all the ale, but it didn't do much to help the pain in my back."
"We should get a doctor to look at you."
"You know we can't afford it, love. I'll be all right in a day or two."
Jacob shifted his position and groaned.
"Did he pay up?"
Essie tightened a grip on the purse.
"Who was he, Pa?"
"It's not for us to know. Where's the money?"
"I have it safe."
"Give it here. There's a good girl."
"We'll talk about it in the morning, Pa. Right now I'm tired and I'm going to bed."
Essie opened the door that concealed a narrow staircase, and she closed it behind her, cutting off her father's protests. She would give him the money, but not before she had taken out enough to pay the rent collector and buy food. She had not eaten anything since a slice of bread and a scrape of dripping for breakfast, but she'd gone past feeling hungry. Pa might be content with a couple of bottles of beer, but Essie could not remember the last time they had sat down to a proper meal. She climbed the stairs to her room where she undressed and laid her damp skirt over the back of a wooden chair, the only piece of furniture in the...